Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is March the 14th at let me turn on the mute here for just a moment so we can have a real clean call. Here we go. There we go. Put this on. I'll put this in Q&A mode here.
Q&A session started.
Yeah, put it in Q&A mode. So if you have a question or if you have a comment, just press *6 on your phone, and then we'll you can come on and we can talk. So that would be great. We're going to talk today about handling negative thoughts and self-doubts and how to turn negative thoughts into positive ones and, you know, some case studies and, you know, your experiences. We'd love to have your experiences as an athlete or as a coach and how to get from that. That's one of the biggest problem areas that athletes have is getting into that kind of negative mindset and getting stuck there, getting into a slump. Or getting injured or feeling really like they can't move forward or replaying past mistakes in their minds. And so if it's one of the biggest problem areas. And so as you probably know, clients will pay for you to solve problems much more. So oftentimes we're much more motivated when, you know, to get rid of pain or solve problems than we are to move forward on goals. That's good news for us as coaches that it's a good source of clients for you and a great way that you can help people is when people do have a lot of negative thinking and self-doubts. Especially with important competitions coming up, then you can really be of service to them and build your business around that. So one announcement I wanted to make is that I was going to be doing interviews, you know, like an interview, a one-on-one interview with each one of you. I'd like to do one, if possible, I have a new TV show. It's called SportsPsychologyNetwork.com. And if you go there, it's sports plural, SportsPsychologyNetwork.com. You can go there and check out the videos. And I've got lots of videos there of me giving little pieces of information, helpful information on sports psychology. It's all oriented around sports performance. And video training, and one of the things I'm doing is interviewing various athletes and coaches around the world. So the first people I thought of course, is all of you as Performing Edge coaches, and you know your experience, your tips you'd like to give, even if you're in training, you know, doing this course in the first part of it or in the middle, that's okay. You know, you're all very experienced with. This whole area of sports performance. So you're all experts in this area. So I'd love to, or if you're already certified, that's great too. And, contact each one of you. And, or if you'd like to contact me and let me know a good time to interview you, it could be just 5-10 minutes, you know, just a shorter one. So it won't take much of your time and we can do it by phone or the best way is with what's called Google Hangouts. So you can let me know a good time for you. I'll be maybe away next week, but the week after that, March 25th is a good time that week or the week after that. Or any of those weeks after that, I'll do, one or two interviews a week and then, feature you. And if you have a website, I'll give out your website and contact information. And then it's a great positive exposure for you as a coach, promote you and your services as a coach and let people position you as the expert and let people know what you can do for them. So you can, email me and let me know a good day and time for you to do the interview, a couple different possible times. And then we'll select one and make that work. So that'll be great. And then, and we can do it by what's called Google Hangouts. There's phone, of course we could do it by phone, but much better. You'd probably know about Skype calls. Most people are on Skype, but there's a much better way now to do video conferencing and video interviews, and that is by Google Hangouts. Most people don't know what that is yet, but it's brand. It's fairly new. It's I don't know. It's been out a few months now, and it's fantastic. It's much better than Skype calls. You get a much better quality recording and a quality reception's better. The picture's clearer. So and then it gets recorded right away, instantly onto YouTube. So it's and it's a great way for you too to learn. I'll send you the instructions on it. Basically, it's all free, and all you need is just a Gmail account. So if most of you probably have a Gmail email address, if you don't, it's important to have one anyway, so that you can do a lot of things in Google. So search on it how to get a Gmail account. It's very simple, and then you just need a Google page, a Google Plus page they call it, and it just walks you right through that. And I can walk you through that before our interview too, if you'd like. It just takes a second to do a couple clicks, and then what happens is I send you an email in your Gmail account that says, Dr. Joanne has invited you to a Hangout. They call them Google Hangouts, which is, just like a call, but that's their name for them. And so then you click on open your email and click on the link there, and then it would say, be this box that has a blue square that says Join Hangout. So you can click on that, and then you and I could talk. You'll see our pictures on the screen there, and most of you, it's good if the important thing is to be at a computer if you can. I guess that you may be able to do it with your iPhone too, but computer's good. Laptop with a webcam, most computers come with that now, that have the little camera at the top, and then you can it'll picture have you there and just have a little bit of light on your face, and then we can talk. And it whoever's talking is the person that's featured on the middle of the screen. So it's great. And you can have up to, this is a great way for you to do like video conferencing and do sessions with your clients if you want. And you can make the video. You don't have to record it. You can, if you want it private, you can just do a Google Hangout, with a client. Let's say you've got one in another country that, doesn't, so that they don't have to pay for a phone call. You can, just like Skype, it's free, but much better reception. So you can just search on it too, how to do a Google Hangout. It's very simple. And I'll send you instructions too. But it's you just basically can talk with people all over the world and your clients, and then you have a better, much better connection with them because you can see them and they can see you, and you can really connect with them much better that way. And also, yeah, we may do some on this on our calls here too, so I can see all of you. And then you can have like up to 10 people on one conference call. So if you'd like to do one thing you can do is get a great. It's a great way to get client testimonials. If you have a client somewhere and you can, you want to have them, be able to talk about their work with you. Even a quick 1-2 minute. A little testimonial. The best way is to interview them and just talk about, how was my work? How was our work together? Was it helpful for you? And what are the top three things that you learned from our work together? That kind of thing. And then you just it's much easier for people to talk if you interview them, give them a couple quick questions. Then you can get really quality interviews. And then you just put up a YouTube channel. And I'll give you instructions how to do that too. Very simple. If you don't have one, it's a great way to have a good presence on the web. And so you can record, just with the client, you just ask them permission to, record it. And then there's a little button there that you hit, the red broadcast button, so it will automatically record it. And then after the interview, it's it's literally like 2 minutes later. Boom, it's up there. The link is on your. On your YouTube channel. It's amazing. And you can then put a title to it, a description, and a link to your website. So And you can, you know, if it was a mistake or something, and you know, you or you didn't get good reception for some reason, it didn't turn out well, you can always make the video unlisted there, so no one else can see it, or you can choose to make it public, so it's right there for people to see, and it's a great way for people to find out about you. And then another use for Google Hangouts is to be able to do, you know, video, do like webinars. You know, previously we always had to pay, you know, if you didn't want to do a webinar, you had to pay some service, you know, really expensive services like, you know, GoToWebinar is, you know, it's $100 a month, or if you get a lot of people on the call, then it could be $500 a month. I mean, it can get really expensive, but Google Hangouts is free, and, you know, we hope it stays free. I think, you know, as long as you're not doing thousands of these things, I'm sure it'll be fine. And so you could do a webinar, and you could have just yourself, you know, talking, presenting information. Or you could, you know, if you're interviewing, having a panel, or, you know, bringing in other people, you can have people actually do a Q&A and, you know, click a button to be able to ask you questions there, and you can see them on the screen as well. And then you can, you know, so you can have up to 10 people interacting with you, and then you can also invite the world. Basically, you can, you know, you can broadcast it. You can have it live streaming on your website. You may have attended other people's. People are having these Google Hangouts now, you know, to give information, and so you can actually live as it's happening. It's like you're on live TV. It's pretty amazing with this technology. So you can invite people to your Google Plus page where it can be live there as you're talking, and or you could, you know, embed that on, you know, put a code on your own website, so it's right there. So people can listen. The whole world can listen in live, and then also records. You can record it afterwards, so you can put up a link and then send people that link. So, yeah, really exciting stuff, that new technology that's available now through Google. Because Google owns YouTube, now you've got this perfect kind of connection to be able to, you know, do these video conferencing calls, and then because they're connected with YouTube, it's easily recorded right there. So it's kind of a perfect match. Whereas with Skype, you have to, if you want to record a call, you have to get some other software, and it's not always compatible, that kind of thing. So, yeah, so just letting you know about that new technology, and yeah, I'd love to interview all of you for my TV show. And again, it's at, if you want to check it out, sportspsychologynetwork.com, and you can click on all the different, you know, on the TV show there, and you can see what I've got, adding new videos all the time. So, yeah, it's a great thing to be able to do. So now let's kind of dive into our, yeah, content here. Yeah, first I just want to check in and see if you're... you know, check in with that question about negative thoughts and what your and self doubts and what your experience with that is. I know that yeah, Willow, you mentioned. Thanks, Willow, for you mentioned a resource for recording, like recording MP3s and visualizations, and yeah, I use that too. I wanted to recommend it also. It's called Voice Record. Yeah, so that's great. It's an app for the iPhone, Voice Record. So you can use that, or, you know, I mentioned Audacity in our program in the members area. Audacity is free also, and it's for the advantage of that is it's an editing, a powerful editing program also. So you can you know, edit afterward. You could add music or take out, you know, certain sections, whatever you want to do, if you want to do more with it. But just to do a simple recording, yeah, Voice Record is great. And then there's also another program called Call Myna, Call, C-A-L-L, and then M-Y-N-A-H. So it's Call Myna, Call, and then M-Y-N-A-H.com. That's another free service. So I need to figure out how to turn off the bells on there, on the call here. So those are good resources as well to be able to record your audios. So so let's see. Willow, you mentioned some your experience with since you emailed in a experience with overcoming negative thoughts and self-doubts. I don't know if you want to give an example of that. Let me open up your line here. If you press a star 6 on your phone, then I can unmute you here. I'm not sure if you're on there, or I'll just I keep hearing a lot. I'll turn this off here. So let's see. I can hear. Can you say just say something so I can see if I can hear you? I hope this is on. Can everyone hear me? Okay. It should be conference lock. Can everyone hear me? Okay. Somehow I can't hear you. Let me see here. I'm not sure why I can't hear you. I'm turning the mute off, so I should be able to hear everyone. We'll try this in a few minutes to see if I can connect, be able to hear you again. Maybe something's funny with the conferencing here. Let's see. Oh.
The conference has been locked.
Oh, whoops. No, wait a minute. Now I just unlocked it. This is a newer service, so I'm just getting, bear with me as I'm getting used to the buttons on here. Let's go into our material here with, being able to handle negative thoughts and self-doubts. And I apologize that I can't hear. I hope you can hear me. Somehow I can't hear you to be able to answer questions right at the moment, but we'll get that fixed here. So I wanted to talk about, negative thoughts and self-doubts. And I know that Dana wrote in, Dana from Toronto in Canada, said that she is, I know many of you have your own kids that you're working with sports psychology as well as clients, and that she said, what I'm stuck on is, she says, I used some techniques with my son in volleyball. He went from mostly a bench player to a starting player on the court all day in tournaments, which are every weekend, 12 hours of practice a week. So one of the challenges is being asked to try out for the provincial team, and which practices an hour away every afternoon. And then there's supposed to be, a lot of traveling. So she was talking about, difficulty there with specifically with volleyball. And I actually have a volleyball example with negative thoughts. I have a client that is in high school, and she is having libero, which are the ones that get the first, do the digs and get the ball, the first line of defense when the ball first comes flying over the net. And so she, was very good, but her coach wasn't giving her enough playing time. And so she was getting really frustrated and would end up sitting on the bench, even though she was the best player out there. There was a coach was giving a lot of favoritism to another one of the players, letting her play a lot more often. And so she'd sit on the bench and get really frustrated. And then the coach would call her in to play with no warning, and she wouldn't be warmed up. And she'd end up, getting really, having those negative thoughts coming in and getting really anxious and thinking, God, I've got to be perfect here. And then she'd blow the first shot, and then the coach would like take her out on the bench again. So she didn't really get a chance to warm up. And so, we talked, one of the things that, and then she'd sit on the bench thinking, oh God, when am I going to get called again? Am I going to mess up like I did last time? So these kind of repetitive thoughts came over and over her mind. And she, you know, so what we did with her is allowed her to, you know, gave her some techniques to be able to continue to be, you know, to even when she's sitting on the bench, to feel like she's warmed up in her mind. So visualizing her best shots, her best games, and, you know, or imagining when the ball's coming over the net as she's watching the game to be able to, you know, how she would handle each of those shots, so that she could feel warmed up in her mind and her body. And I reminded her that, you know, when we're doing visualization, or when you're practicing, mentally rehearsing something in your mind, you know, you're actually creating those neuromuscular responses in your brain and body. And so you're actually, you know, sending those, strengthening those neural pathways to the muscles involved in that action. You know, I've done this with biofeedback before with clients and showed them, put an electromyograph on their body. For instance, I was working with a kayaker who was training for the Olympics. She'd made the Olympic team, and she came in and she said she needed, you know, her body was well trained, but her mind, she said, I'm like a mental marshmallow. And so we put electrodes on her biceps and for biofeedback to, and as soon as I had her actually visualize herself doing the rowing and doing the proper rowing technique, and as she's with kayaking and as a paddling technique, and as she's visualizing, you know, boom, we see the computer, the graph change immediately to where she is, you know, those muscles in that exact area are being activated as she's visualizing the race. And so she was just amazed to see how, you know, just by, you know, she wasn't moving her arms at all. She was only visualizing her race, and the biofeedback equipment, she could see right on the screen that, you know, she's actually activating those muscles in the exact pattern that she needs to be able to do well. So she was able to change those that negative thinking, you know, of worrying about how well she's going to do, to thinking, wow, if I visualize myself here doing really well, I'm going to be able to, to perform when it counts. And by just creating those same neuromuscular reactions over and over again with the mental rehearsal, she was able to lower the anxiety, lower the negative thoughts and self-doubts, and, you know, do really well in the Olympics. So, but back to the volleyball player that I was talking about, what we did with her then was two techniques, actually, you know, what she could do internally and then what she could do externally. So internally, we had her, think about the, you know, practicing while she's on the bench and still being able to be warmed up while she's on the bench. And then the second thing is how she talked with her coach, you know, how she communicated with her coach. And she had, a difficult time with, talking with her coach, in that she wasn't very assertive, whereas the other girl, you know, was very assertive toward her coach. So what we did was created a script so that she could, I asked her, well, what do you want to say? I asked her, we'll call her Lynn. Lynn, what did you want to say to your coach? Just give me the raw feelings, the raw thoughts first, and just get that out. And I would write that down on paper, exactly what she wanted to say. And then I said, now let's, you know, the unedited version first, so you get everything that she wanted to express. And then we would go back and sort of reorder things so that she was able to, you know, say it in a way that the coach could hear it, because basically she wanted to say, hey, when am I going to get playing time? That was the bottom line, you know, in this next game. And she'd actually been, we did this process twice, once to be able to, the first time she was actually going to the Nationals, this is a private club team, not the high school team, but a private team that was going to, the Nationals in Ohio, and she wanted to, you know, this was going to determine basically, you know, how many, whether she got, what colleges she might get offers for, because all the scouts were going to be there. And so, you know, looking at her, so it's really important time to be able to perform well and to have that playing time. So, you know, we ended up, you know, writing out this script. And, you know, I talked about the sandwich technique, how you want to be able to put in a positive, something positive first, a compliment toward the coach, and then talk about the negative part, and then, or the more difficult part, and then be able to finish the sandwich or close off the sandwich with something positive again. So, you know, we talked about, you know, she's saying all the colleges I've been talking to are going to be there, and, I want to, it's really important that I get playing time, and we, in a script we talked about that I've been working really hard, and I've been passing, my passing stats are really good, very consistent, and last month my stats were the highest they've ever been, meaning, you know, she was able to pass really accurately. And this is, and then to remind the coach that she brought the team to number one in a couple of, in Denver and in Las Vegas, these previous games. And so we put all that together in a script. We sort of rearranged things so that the bottom line part was last, you know, am I going to get playing time? She could sort of lead up to that. And then I had her practice it with me, like role play a couple of times, because she was, you know, the negative thinking and the self-doubts were so strong that she would continue to say to herself, oh, this isn't going to work. The coach isn't going to listen to me. So we, I had her practice the saying the script several times, you know, saying it with me, saying I'm trying, you know, instead of being really aggressive, she, you know, we changed it around to saying, I'm trying to figure out what that's going to look like, in terms of, playing time, or if I'm going to play, you know, and asking specific questions. And so we, you know, had her practice that a couple times with me, and then I gave her the script. I wrote it down for her. We sort of changed things around, and then I said, now I want you to go home and practice this, and first in front of a mirror, and then in front of maybe, you know, in front of your parents if they're supportive, or a friend, and, you know, say it two or three times so that you're really well prepared. And then once she did that, she felt really comfortable and felt really strong, and then was able to communicate that with her coach. Then she had the talk with her coach, and yeah, it worked. The next thing I heard was that her parents called from Ohio and said, oh my gosh, she's, you know, Lynn is playing the game of her life here, the tournament that the coach put her in first, and she was able to have plenty of playing time, and all the scouts are here, and they actually ended up, she got five offers to different colleges of her choice and ended up getting a scholarship. So it ended up being, you know, the best of all worlds. Just because, and I think a part of it was that confidence, you know, being able to turn it around from the self-doubts and negative thoughts, and giving her the words to say, a script to be able to say something, to be able to communicate to her coach with confidence. So you can do the same thing with your athletes, what, no matter what sport they're in, be able to, I think communication is a huge thing, and being able to work with them, and to be able to, and also with yourself as well. So, you know, that's kind of one example. Yeah, I wish I could somehow turn this. Maybe if I turn mute, and then I'm trying to turn this back on so I could hear you guys, because somehow I can't hear. I can hear myself, but I can't. Maybe if I turn Q&A, put the Q. I'm going to try this again. Just put Q&A on. I'm going to put this on Q&A here and see if you press *6 on your phone, let me know if you can do that. If you can't, then I'll answer, you know, you can, yeah, if somehow this doesn't work, then we'll, you can always email me your questions too. But somehow, yeah, somehow I can't hear, can't hear you guys. I feel bad about that. But let me go on with what the content here that I wanted to talk about, and that is kind of like managing your thoughts, managing your, you know, that negative part of yourself. I think your thoughts really, you know, create your reality, and our minds are like a thought factory, really. It, you know, we produce these thousands and, you know, over 50,000 thoughts a day. And, you know, you think about it, how much of your training and your life is guided by negative or critical thinking of you or your athletes? And I think it is possible to direct your mind so that your thoughts are creating the results that you want. And every athlete has that inner voice. I think that inner negative inner voice that's, you know, it's kind of like it's prime. We're geared toward that negative thinking, and it's primed to sort of attack us. And that inner voice, negative inner voice, can make you nervous before events, and it can interrupt your focus. It can keep you from doing your absolute best, you know, in training and in performing. And most people, you know, probably have experienced this negative voice, or sometimes I call it an inner critic. But I think athletes are especially vulnerable to this kind of negative energy in high-pressure situations, especially, you know, competitions that are unavoidable in sports. And, you know, even athletes with strong confidence and self-worth can, you know, have this have these negative thoughts that can be really debilitating. And I think that even people with shaky self-confidence and low self-esteem or athletes that don't have as much support, they tend to be more susceptible to, you know, that strong, you know, negative thinking within. And I think here's some of the negative thought traps that I've found that happen with athletes, and things that you want to be aware of. So the better you can be aware of these, what's going on in your athlete's mind, the better you can control, understand, and control this negative energy. You can begin to, you know, train and perform, help your athletes train and perform with a mind that's clear and positive. So one of the first things that the negative thought trap is that, you know, that blaming, sort of a inner blaming for most things that go wrong. So, you know, athletes tend to blame themselves for what goes wrong. If something goes right, they'll tend to say, "Oh, it was just luck. It was a fluke," or "That was just something that happened." They don't take credit for it. But I think, but if something goes wrong, then they will tend to, you know, take the blame themselves. So if you can teach athletes to, you know, to take, to be able to compliment themselves for what they're doing right when things do go well, that can help a lot. And then another negative thought trap is setting unrealistically high standards of perfection, that sense of, you know, I've got to get the gold medal, or I'm a failure, or I have to win this race or this game, or I'm a failure, or I've got to get this particular time or place in this competition, or else I'm, you know, it's not, I won't accept anything else. And I think, or even making the tiniest error, you know, making themselves a failure. I've got to, win this, or anything less than that will be a complete waste of time. So that's a second negative thought trap. And a third one is that, you know, that comparison, you're that sort of inner critic compares your achievements to the ability of those of other athletes, and it makes you, you know, appear less than adequate. So that's a really common mistake and negative thought trap that athletes get into is thinking, I'm never going to be good as so-and-so, or oh no, you know, this person just showed up at the competition. So, you know, oh, there goes first place. You know, here's, I must be, you know, looking at second place. So, it's, frustrating sometimes. And also parents tend to do that too. They'll compare one athlete to another. They'll compare, you know, the better athlete in the family to the other one. And that's really, can be really devastating to athletes. So if you can help your athletes to just think about what they can do within themselves, to think about, I'm racing against myself, or I'm competing against myself. And, you know, not focus so much on the other person having to beat this other athletes, but just basically compete with themselves, then they're going to have a much better experience and feel like they have more control. Because basically they only have control over, you know, you only have control over your own effort level and your own attitude. And you can't control, most of the time, you can't control what the other athletes are doing and how they show up. So I think placing too much emphasis on the other athletes, you know, can really set yourself up for failure and a lot of anxiety. And then I want to go back to the earlier one, setting unrealistically high standards of perfection. You know, what you can do there, I think, to counteract that is help athletes to, you know, say rate, instead of having a black and white thinking of success or failure, you know, have them think of a scale of 1 to 10, you know, rate their effort level on a scale of 1 to 10, rate their confidence on a scale of 1 to 10, rate their energy level, their degree of positive thinking on a scale of 1 to 10, so that they get the idea that they can, that there is a range of performance and not just a win-lose kind of situation, and that have them rate their inner performance, you know, their effort level, as opposed to just, you know, looking at the score, especially with team sports. Like, you might have an athlete, you know, a basketball player that did their absolute best, but the team still lost, and they feel like a failure. But really, they, you know, they're not, you know, they might have done their absolute best, and you want to give that athlete credit for that. So you want to have them keep their, you know, keep track of that. So have them rate their effort level, not only just the outside score or the time. And then there's a fourth negative thought trap, and that's, you know, that negative part of us, it keeps like this record of your mistakes, but forgets to remind you of your personal strengths and your accomplishments. So, you know, we're always thinking about the, you know, kind of listing those mistakes. And, you know, we've got a perfect record of those, how many times we screwed up, and we're wanting to avoid looking stupid. But in order to do that, you know, most athletes are they replay the mistakes over and over in their minds, and the body follows those mental instructions. So what you want to do is be able to create a new movie in your mind and create a new sort of, you know, have that visible record of strengths and achievements. And that's what you want to keep track of, as opposed to the mistakes, the things that you do well. So you can have an athlete, you know, write down, like, their, for instance, one great technique I do with athletes is have them write down your top 10 best performances, and write them down, you know, like top 10 races, top 10 games, and then describe those. Have a little paragraph about each one, and then do a visualization, like a top 10 visualization that includes all of those. Or if that's too many, then just do 5, you know, one time, and maybe 5 another time. But I did that for one athlete who was doing the DECA Ironman. I don't know if you've heard of those, but it's, you know what an Ironman is. Of course, you swim 2.4 miles, then you bicycle 112 miles, and then you run a marathon, 26 miles. Well, a DECA Ironman is 10 of those back-to-back with no rest. So it's hard to imagine. But there's one down in Mexico, and an athlete was doing that. So, and you just, the clock keeps running. They're doing 10 Ironmans, And so it's about a 12-day event, and you can rest whenever you want, but the clock keeps running. So sometimes we'll get an hour of sleep here and there, and it's just insane. But and now they actually have triple-deca Ironmans, so that thing takes like over a month. It's just outrageous. So and during those, you're allowed to wear iPods. So ask your athletes, you know, are you allowed to wear an iPod, to use an iPod in a race or a game? Sometimes, you know, they're not, but other, you know, depending on certain ultra events and longer events, their athletes are allowed to use, those kind of devices. So if they are, then you could make them a visualization that they can actually use during the competition. Or if it's a game, like a tennis match or golf, they could where there's breaks in between, or you can create a visualization that people could use in between, you know, while they're on their breaks. So anyway, I made this visualization for the athlete that was going to the DECA Ironman, and I asked him, tell me about your top 10 races. And he gave me a paragraph about each one. And then I just basically went through each one, read the paragraph that he had written, and then added my own phrases as well, and made that into a really nice visualization. And then he took that with him, played the iPod, actually while he was out on the bicycle doing his 112-mile, one of his bikes that gets so boring after a while. They're actually going around in a loop, so that makes it even more boring. And he said that was the absolute best thing we could have done, that was the favorite visualization for him. Was and mental training tool was that top 10 race mental training. So that's something you can do for your athletes. Not just have your athletes give you one, but give you 10 of the top 10 performances they've had, and it's something that they feel good about. It doesn't necessarily mean the team won or that they got the result they wanted. Maybe they did, but just that they felt good on. Felt confident. That's the important thing, to pick out those competitions where, or training too, it could be a training workout where they felt really good. Write those down and then make a top 10 list of those, and then a top 10 mental training audio. The next mental training, or the next negative thought trap then. So that one is how to handle your, get rid of the mistakes, and how to remind you of your personal strengths and accomplishments. And then the next negative thought trap is your creating that rigid set of rules and shoulds that you need to live by. And, your mind yells at you for being wrong if you live outside of those. So you get this rigid set of things that you have to do. And I think it's a real, kind of constrained kind of thinking process. It's like, okay, I've got to, in the morning to get ready for a race, I've got to be able, you want to be able to go through a certain routine and get that right and get everything just perfect, beforehand. But often that doesn't happen. Maybe there's maybe you got a flat tire on your car, maybe the weather is raining, something's out of your control. And so things don't always happen in that strict set of plans that just like you saw it. So you need to be able to have what you can do with your athletes. That, of course, that creates a negative spiral then. And so what you want to do is have your athletes be able to think about all the different possible scenarios and things that could go wrong, and then have a plan for handling each one of those. And that way you've got kind of an insulation against that too much negative. So there, if things do go wrong, it to be able to have a kind of a way to switch gears and a sense of forgiveness and saying, okay, well, so this messed up. So how do I keep moving forward? Ask themselves those questions instead of saying to yourself, oh man, why is this so difficult? Why is this taking so long? Or why can't I get it right? Why does this always happen to me? Instead of asking those questions, those that start with why, ask questions that start with what or how. What I call positive action questions. So thinking of ask yourself, okay, what is working? how can I use this to my advantage? So that is such a great question. I think anything that happens to you, you can always find a way to use it to your advantage. You know, let's say it's raining in the middle of a race. You can say, oh my God, you know, I run terrible in the rain. Or you can say, well, you know, everybody has to contend with the same rain, you know, and I'm better in the rain than other people, or I run well in under any conditions. I perform well no matter what's happening. If you're in a triathlon and it's raining and you're in the water, you can say, well, if you're wet, you're wet. If you're in the swimming, it doesn't matter. But just say that I am better in this situation than other athletes. So, you know, be able to come up with all the different scenarios and then a plan for handling each one. And then the critic, the next thing that, the next negative thought trap is, you know, giving yourself degrading names for yourself and believe that you, you are, you know, just calling yourself, you stupid, incompetent slug of an athlete. You're too slow. You're too fat. You're too old. All of that stuff, you know, actually calling yourself names is something that it sounds crazy, but, you know, we do it all the time. And if you call yourself those names, then your right brain starts to believe that, and it's really ingraining those. If you can tell your athletes that whatever you say to yourself is what you know, your athletes that's what you start to believe. And so what if you were to turn that around and say to yourself, you know, you are strong, you are powerful, you can do this. This is a challenge. I perform well under any conditions. If you use the word I, that helps a lot to be able to personalize it. So say to yourself, I am getting stronger every day. I'm getting faster every day. So be able to turn those negative names around and have your athletes identify whenever they are. You know, ask them, what names do you call yourself? And, you know, what negative stuff comes up? Or if it's maybe it's an injury, they say, oh, that darn knee again. Oh, God, I can't believe that. And you start, you know, degrading certain parts of your body rather than saying, okay, how can I help this part? How can I help this? What do I need to do in this situation? How can I use this to my advantage? Just be able to turn it around so that you can say helpful things to yourself and say helpful phrases about the situation, about your body, about the competition. Just those words make such a huge difference. You know, people don't think, well, just changing words, how's that going to change anything? Well, words actually, so especially if you say them out loud a couple of times in the form of like power words or phrases, it really reinforces it in your mind. I keep hearing this dinging sound, and I think it's, yeah, there's something going on with the the conference call. But anyway, we'll get that fixed for this next time. So the critic, you know, that the next thing that the next negative thought trap is that athletes tend to magnify their weak points and not their, you know, their strongest points. So you're saying to yourself, you know, oh, you always screw up in competitions. You never finish anything on time. You're always late. You know, those kind of things. And using, you know, superlatives to remind yourself of that. You always, you never. So if you can, and just, you know, doing that help, it reinforces, it can really bring athletes down into a negative state and a depressed mood and sometimes, you know, full-on depression. So, you know, it's something that really feeds on itself. So I think one exercise that I have athletes do that can help them sort of get out of that mode is to go ahead and write those down. Take a piece of paper and take a, you know, write a vertical line down the center and then write on the left-hand side those negative thoughts and self-doubts. And when you, you know, they may ask, well, why would I want to write them down? And the whole idea is if you write them down, you help yourself articulate what those thoughts are. And so you get them out of your brain and onto paper. And then you're able to identify them And then they're not rolling around in your brain anymore. They're on paper. And then on the right-hand side, you write power words or positive self-statements, positive reframing. And then you teach your athletes, every time they write down one of those negative thoughts, there's an arrow going from the left to the right. So they immediately think, okay, how can I replace that? What other thought can I replace that with? What do I want to be thinking? How do I want to coach myself? What can I be saying? What's the opposite of that? So if you can teach them to write down the what the opposite of that thought is, then they're going to be able to do well with, always have, then they create after a while for each negative thought, have them write three of the power words or positive statements on the right, then you're going to be creating a whole bank of these statements, at positive self-statements. And then what you can do is take those, like if you're in a, have your athlete go through this exercise actually in a session with them by phone or if you're in your office or whatever you're using as your office, just to go through that with them, write down each of the negative thoughts and then write down the positive thoughts so that you have a record of it as well. Or you can have them go home and do more of them at home for their homework and then bring them back. And then the next time you've got now you have a basis for your, for being able to create a MP3 for them for power words. So you take, here's all their strengths. Instead of saying, you always screw up in competitions, you ask them, okay, well, what can you say on the right-hand side to help you through that? You can, maybe they might say, I'm getting faster in every competition, or I'm working every day toward my goal. Or I'm learning new skills every day. I'm working. My mind and body are getting stronger every moment. So you write down those kinds of things. In chapter six, I think it's chapter seven in the book, and the Your Performing Edge book is all about power words and affirmations. So you can refer to that chapter. Also, those seven. There's about 7 points at the end of the chapter on how to create those power words, and you want to make them short, positive statements that are that include the word I, if you can, to personalize it. So you can write those down and have, create this whole bank of these power words and positive statements, and then you can go ahead and make an MP3 for your client with these statements, based on exactly what they've said. So they're not your words, they're the client's words. And you can enhance them, of course. And if they say something like, I don't want to crash, or I don't want to slow down, you want to turn that around and say, okay, how can you say that? Do say what you do want, don't say what you don't want. So turn it into using the words that you do want so that you're not reinforcing the negative words, you're not reinforcing the mistakes. So instead of I don't want to slow down, you might say, what's the opposite of that? Well, they might say I'm speeding up, or I'm maintaining a consistent pace. So then you go ahead and make your MP3 for them. And I would suggest with the MP3, take some deep breaths, have them take deep breaths and get relaxed first, and then say each of their phrases that they've given you on this sheet, the left-right side sheet. Take only the positive statements on the right side and say them each two times so that it really helps to reinforce it in the brain. And then as you go through, you can, go through the whole list. And if you have time, sometimes it's helpful to go back through. Let's say you've got 10 of them, 10 power words, say each one two times very slowly. And then go back through the list again and say each one two times. And that really helps reinforce those statements once again. Because the more repetition is where we learn, and repetition is the way to really retain information. So go ahead and do that, and then write down. The last one I wanted to mention is of negative thought traps is that you're that inner critic or your negative part, negative thoughts, that negative part of your mind, we tend to read competitors' minds or think that, you know, you convince, you know, like you think, oh, you see a face on another athlete and you think, oh, they're angry or they're turned off or they're upset by me or so they're pissed off about something. You know, that happens a lot. Let's say you go to a race or competition and you're looking at some other athlete and they're looking down or they're looking disgusted or frustrated, and you interpret it. Most athletes will personalize that and think, oh, it's something I did or it's something against me. They'll take it personally when, in fact, it probably, you know, it could be anything. It could be that athlete's having a bad day, they're injured, they're not feeling good. You know, I think that mind reading is something that you want to be aware of, that negative part does as well. We tend to, you know, read other people's minds and or think we can read their minds and think we know what's on their mind and interpret that negatively and take it, personalize it too much. And I think one thing you can help your athletes to do is to take that, just be able to not, you know, to come back to yourself and say, just focus on what you're doing, especially right before a competition, and not be concerned about what other athletes are doing. Everybody's got their own warm-up technique, and everyone's got stuff going on, and it usually gets enhanced. You know, the performance anxiety gets enhanced by competitions, and so if somebody has a weird look on their face, you have no idea what that means or what they're going through, and don't try to interpret it. Or read into it. Just say, okay, they're going through something, and I'm going to focus on what I need to do. You know, and get back to your own mental training. Get back to, and that's why your MP3s and your mental training techniques that you can create for athletes are so valuable, because you want athletes to focus on what you are teaching them and what you're training them to do, and the mental part that they can control, and that way it'll reduce anxiety, it'll reduce those negative thoughts and self-doubts, because they don't have to be worried about what somebody else is thinking or what somebody else is doing, which you can't control anyway. You know, just get back to your own mental game, and I think that can really help you to be a lot more a lot stronger inside. So those are some mental, you know, mental thought traps, negative thought traps that athletes go through. And I wish that I could connect with you guys, that I could hear you. For some reason, the I can't get this to if I put this into Q&A mode, mute off. Or just put it into mute off. If you guys can say, like, press *6 on your phone and just see if you can say something. Yeah, I'm hearing this beep, which probably means you're doing that, but somehow it's not. I'm not able to hear you. So I apologize for that. But we'll you can if you have questions and comments, I would love to hear from you. Just go ahead and email me your comments, and we'll. I'll get this fixed next time, because I know it was working just fine last time. And we'll I'll get the recording up for this. We'll have our next call on March the 28th, the same time, Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern. And I have a way to be able to call in by for international callers, a way to call in using don't use Skype. Skype is not recommended for this particular service, but you can use basically a free, have your computer as a VoIP phone or flash phone, so it's free, and you're just able to connect through your computer and the speakers on your computer. So I'll send you those instructions too. And then again, I'd love to do, as I was mentioning before, I'd love to do an interview with each of you for my new TV show, which is the sportspsychologynetwork.com. I'll be doing a new episode each week on there, and just do a short, you know, 5 to 10 minute interview with each of you on your expertise to promote you as a coach, and give your website or your contact information, or and say where you're from, and you know, make you have you be the expert, position you as the expert in your area. And so if you want to email me with a good time and day, that would be good for you to interview you. That would be great. And I'll be out next week, but the week after that, March 25th, would be great. Or any week after that, that would be great. And then I'll send you the instructions. It's real simple how to connect with, do a Google Hangout, because that'll be a good skill for you to learn too, for your, to learn how to, it's like a Skype call, but much better, as I was mentioning, a much better reception. So a great tool for you to have so that you connect with your athletes the same way. So you'll be able to see some of them on sportspsychologynetwork.com too, some of the Google Hangouts I've done there. So it's a really cool technology. So, we'll talk to you again. I apologize for not being able to talk with you, that I somehow can't hear your voices, but you can, go ahead and email me, and I'll have this recording up, shortly here. And then I'll also send you, put up some new tools in the members area, that logbook, and also the PPQ, the pre-programmed questionnaire, I need to put in there as well. So I'll do that this week here. So, thanks again for all of you coming. Willow, I hope you have a good move to Colorado. And Brett, hope you're enjoying spring in Colorado there too, and all the other people that are calling in here. I know Eves is trying to call in from Belgium in Europe, and Hans is calling in from Philippines, Dana from Colorado, and Amy from Pennsylvania. We've got people from, and Fabrizio's in Brazil, so we've got people all over the world here, which is really great. So we'll talk to you I'll be in touch in next day or two here with the recording and with other tools for the Performing Edge Coach, and then I'll be in touch with you each individually to do an interview. I know I've done one with Derek Wagner with our for our call. It's a great one too, and I'll send you a link for that too, so you can see that up on our website. So we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk again March 28th for our next call, and look for the recording, and I'll send you more info by email here shortly with the replay. So thanks everyone, and have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, bye now.